gather here on the Lord's Day, carrying that celebration of Easter with us as we come to worship this day. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate our risen Lord.
Saturday, May
May 1st, but next Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. upstairs at the shelter, we'll be having a drive-through wedding shower for them. They'll be there, and I encourage you to come out and support this young couple as they're starting, they're facing that ceremony on the 1st, but also the extension of that. This is, I've been meeting with them over the last couple of weeks and talking to the importance of not just that day of the wedding, but the marriage. That's the important, that's my focus for them. And so come support them as we seek to make a foundational point in their life. It'll be from 2 to 4 upstairs underneath the shelter outside. There, the couple is registered, currently registered at Target and on Amazon. So if you have a chance to pick something up for them, please do so and come support them next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the shelter. Last but not least, you also notice in your bulletin this morning that in two Sundays, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, which will be the 25th, we will have two special called business meetings. One business meeting will take place immediately following the outside worship service, and then we'll have a special called business meeting following the inside worship service. We'll be voting on one specific thing at this time. We'll be voting on that founding board. A couple weeks ago, we decided as a church to start an endowment fund here at First Baptist Elon. We have to have a board, a group of individuals within our church to kind of direct that endowment to move forward in this process. Well, we need to vote on those names, and the names are listed in your bulletin this morning. But in 2 weeks, on the 25th, please hang around for a few minutes following worship for that roundtable meeting. It should not take long, but we'll have one following the outside service and the inside service, talking about the same thing at both of them. So please come and be a part of that decision-making process here at First Baptist Elon. We are excited that you come to worship with us this morning. We are excited about how God is going to move and continue to bring that wave of emotion from Easter into our worship service today. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to lift praise to God this morning.
Let's stand and let's worship together. This is the day.
Comes from the prophet Isaiah. We're reading chapter 54 and reading verse verses 9 through 10 this morning. These verses will play into our scripture passage a little bit later on today and during the sermon time. But reading from Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who had compassion on you. As we think about the compassion that God has on us, the faithfulness that he brings to us on a daily basis, let us go to the Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts and our minds to encounter our risen Savior this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we live in a time, in a vulnerable world as a vulnerable people. Nothing really seems to be overly stable anymore. The environment and weather patterns are predictably unpredictable. Old friendships get strained through the busyness of life. World news is usually not good news. Health crises abound and rising economic issues mount. Church messes and messy relationships seem to be our norm in this time. However, in the midst of all this, what we would call chaos, in the midst of this chaos, there is one glorious exception. Your unfailing love for us. And it cannot be shaken. Father, thank you for this one thing that we can count on, absolutely counting on it every single day. One reality beyond shaking and shifting, all atrophy and aging, all diminishment and decay, all failure and forfeiture, all violation and termination, and that is your fabulous, irreplaceable, unfailing love that you give us daily. That's what's caused us to come here this day. That love that you have shown us, that faithfulness that you continue to show us. So while we gather here this day to honor you, may we celebrate your faithfulness and love throughout all our worship service this morning. May our songs lift praise to you and be pleasing to you. May our prayers we offer bring you joy. May our thoughts that we have be centered on you. We lift this prayer on this day that you have blessed us with, on this day that you continue to be faithful to us. We lift this prayer to Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing, Never Once.
about those words of God's faithfulness to us. Oftentimes, when we think about that word faithful, we think that's something that we're called to be towards God. And yes, that is true. But our faithfulness to Him begins with His faithfulness to us. And I want to first say, as we come to our ministry highlight, thank you for your faithfulness to our God and to our community. Over the past month, as we collected new blankets and napkins and throws to distribute through our nursing homes and through the hospice home in Alamance County, we collected almost 50 exactly blankets that we were able to distribute this past weekend. And as I think about that opportunity of sharing those gifts, they came with a little bit of love. They came with a little bit of love from your hands. They came with a little bit of love from our Heavenly Father. And it's a simple act like that that can make a difference in our community. So first off, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to our community and those in our community that we can reach with this ministry. Now, during the month of April, we're continuing to show our faithfulness by supporting a ministry that we support throughout the year. We collect items for them. We donate money towards them. Allied Churches of Alamance County does a wonderful ministry in our community. And the things they do are beyond even sometimes our understanding. They provide assistance with jobs, clothes for individuals who are needing or going for to try to get a job, provide food for the homeless, provide a shelter for the homeless in our community. Those are just four things, individual things that they provide, but it goes so much beyond that. And so this month, during the month of April, we're going to continue to support Allied Churches in their ministry and how they reach out to a community as people come to them. They have a food pantry there that they provide food for individuals who come by in need. Also, they use some of this food to provide meals at Allied Churches on North Church Street. So this month, we're going to collect food items, specific items that they're in need of that they can distribute to the community and use. You'll see a full list of those items in your April newsletter. You'll see that full list in your bulletin this morning. Some of the items that, just to point out, paper towels and napkins, canned meat, pasta and red sauce, seasoning, breakfast items. That's just a few of those items that are listed there. But what we'll be doing is we'll be collecting those during the month of April. So if you have a chance to go to the grocery store sometime the next week or two, pick up a few items and bring them and donate them to us. We'll have a bin that's be outside our lower entrance during the week. You don't even have to ring the doorbell or knock on the door. You can just drop them in the bin there. It'll be downstairs underneath our awning during the week. On Sundays, if you want to bring it with you as you come for our worship time, the basket, the bin is at the end of the hallway this morning. You can drop it off there, or you can just drop it off in the hallway or today or my office, and we'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. But we'll be collecting these items during the entire month of April. So be faithful. Continue to be faithful and make a difference in our community by donating these items, and we'll make sure Allied Churches is able to use them in a way to lift up that joy and excitement and that celebration of who Christ is through this donation this month. Now at this time, I'm going to call on Suzanne Ruth, who will come for our offertory prayer.
Thank you.
Burke for our special music this morning. I did want to give an update, as many of you heard last week, that our organist Mark had emergency appendectomy last Friday before Easter. He is doing well. He is at home resting comfortably, and we hope he'll be back with us in a couple weeks, I think is the plan, to join us, but continue to lift up the prayers for Mark as he's recovering from that surgery this morning. As we prepare to go to the Lord in the scripture passage in our sermon today, and to see how he may be challenging you this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer for a time of confession as we prepare to pour out things to our God this morning. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you today giving thanks for your faithfulness. We praise and thank you that by your grace, Noah so many years ago was a righteous man who believed in and trusted in you and your word. Indeed, by faith in you, he built an ark and saved his family and a selection of clean and unclean animals and saved us as well. Please work in our lives today so we too can be people of faith who by your grace will trust and obey your word when you speak to us. Grant us a spirit this day of thanksgiving for the wonders you work in our lives daily that we see and sometimes do not see. And may we joyfully sacrifice to express our love for you and serve you each and every day. God, though humans incline towards evil, by your grace and through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you have made us into a brand new creation. You have turned us from slavery to Satan and to sin, to selfishness and self-centeredness. You've turned us towards freedom to live for you that we do not take for granted. You've given us the opportunity to be God-centered and helpful to others, just like we have shared that over the last couple of months with those in our community needing a blanket, for those that will receive food this coming month. We trust in your many promises that you give us each day. We thank you for the promises that you give us in Scripture and rejoice when we can bring gladness to your heart and to others. God, thank you for establishing a covenant with Noah and his descendants, which includes us this day, many thousands of years later. Thank you for promising that a flood would never again destroy the earth. And we know that you remain the sovereign and faithful Lord and just judge of the universe and every human being. Father, as we gather here to worship this day, help us to live so we never give you a reason to discipline us. Father, we ask that as we come to you this day, whatever we're carrying with us, the baggage, the burdens of this past week, the expectations of this week, that we leave it with you this day so we can center our thoughts on you. Because that's what worship is. Father, that's why we've gathered here this day. And we can't wait to see what you will do, not just with the burdens that we carry, but the joy that we will take out of this place today. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who we continue to celebrate. Amen. Again, I want to say thank you for joining us for worship this day. I knew that when the storms came through last night, I was a little fearful that it would carry over into the morning and prevent some of you from being here, but I'm thankful that when I woke up this morning, the sun was shining, a little cloudy and overcast, but the sun was shining, there was no rain falling from the sky, and we were blessed with a time of worship this day, not just outside, but inside this morning. Last week, we had the opportunity of celebrating, a glorious celebration that it was, as we celebrated the risen Lord. We sang praises to God, we lifted worship and prayers to him, and we celebrated the risen Lord. The music was absolutely incredible. I've heard from many of you this week that was touched by the service, if you were here in person or you watched online last week. Whatever the case would be, our attendance was great. We had a wonderful opportunity of celebration and worship. However, it was truly a mountaintop experience. You know, the joy of the empty tomb, the The joy of the risen Lord is one of those pinnacle moments that change the world, that changes our lives. And I will be honest with you, sometimes coming off after Easter, all our ministers put so much focus and attention on Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday, carrying through the Resurrection Sunday. It's not just for ministers, it's also for our lay people, congregants as well, that there's oftentimes a little bit of a letdown after Easter Sunday. And so this week, this last month, I was talking to Gay about this. I said, I don't want that to happen. I don't want the joy and celebration of Easter Sunday just to be something we celebrate on one day and then we have to wait a whole another year to get to. That's not what the risen Lord is all about, because the risen Lord we celebrated last week is the same risen Lord today and the next day and the next day. And so I said, what I would like to do following Easter Sunday is I want to stay on those mountaintop of emotions that we experience. I want to keep hold, grasp of that joy and that celebration that we celebrate on Easter Sunday morning. So over the next couple weeks, what I'll be doing is talking about mountaintop emotions. We'll be looking at specific characteristics of God that we can hold firm to every single day. And in holding firm to them every single day, it brings us to that mountaintop. I don't want to come down from the mountaintop. I want to stay up on the mountaintop. And so starting this Sunday and the next three Sundays, we're going to look at four stories that will speak about the truths of God, one, but two, literally happened on mountaintops. In Scripture, if you read Scripture, there are many stories about events happening on mountaintops. They're usually high pinnacle emotional moments, but we often come down from that mountain. So the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four stories that took place literally on mountaintops that can speak to that emotion that we're called to carry forward from Easter Sunday into each of our daily lives. Not just on Sunday mornings, but on Monday through Saturday as well. And not just on the couple weeks after Easter, but through the entire year as well. This morning, we're going to travel to a mountaintop. It's actually a mountaintop we didn't talk specifically about, but we talked about the beginning of the story that led to the mountaintop just a couple weeks ago. Just a few Sundays ago, I preached the beginning of this story as a faithful man listened to God, and in listening to God, he followed some unusual circumstances and unusual directions. He was being faithful to God. God was faithful to him. And in following those directions, we got to see how God works in our lives in unique and unusual ways. This man was challenged to build a boat. Not just any boat. He was challenged to build a big boat. An ark, to be a matter of fact. And he was called to bring his family on that ark with creatures of clean and unclean animals all over the place to save humanity. Noah's story is a story of faithfulness. But oftentimes when we think about this story of faithfulness, we think of it of faithfulness that Noah showed towards God. Faithfulness that God said, you know, I want you to do this, and Noah said, I'm going to be faithful. It sounds completely out of the ordinary, outside the box, but I'm going to do it. Oftentimes we look at the story from that direction. But this morning we're going to flip it a little bit. Let's see how God was faithful to Noah at the end of the story. He was faithful at the beginning, but let's see how he's faithful in the end. Some of you are gathered here this morning know that I love sports. That is one of my joys in life. Baseball season is back. I just love it. I watched Braves games all this past week. I love sports, but one of the sports events that I like to watch every year is the Masters golf tournament. Anybody like to watch the Masters? Raise your hand. I know Barry does back there. Barry's a golfer. And I love watching the Masters golf tournament. Well, for professional golfers, they don't need this little unwritten rule, or it's actually a written rule, but this rule that they aren't allowed to use, but that if I were to go out to a golf course, I would definitely need to use this rule. It's when you get up to hit a shot, and you're prepared, you've prepared your heart, your mind, you're behind that one shot, and you hit it, and you're expecting to hit it straight down the fairway, but it goes dog left, dog leg right, or that would be a dog leg, would be left. It would hit it right or left, and it ends up in the water. Anybody ever done that before? Mary, you ever done that before? Mary shook his head. He's never hit a ball in the water before. So, no, we've all hit golf balls in the water. And usually what is required, professionals, when they do that, they have to take a stroke penalty, and then they get to hit another shot. Well, if you're a rookie golfer, an amateur golfer like myself, you immediately look at your buddy who you're playing with, and you say, I think I'm going to take a mulligan. A mulligan means you get to hit the same exact shot, but there's no penalty for it. So as long as you've got a good friend who's playing golf with you, they'll let you do it, or she'll let you do it. Well, some see the story of Noah as a mulligan story. A story that everything gets to be done again, but there's no penalty for it. But I contend, even on Masters weekend, I contend that Noah's story is not a mulligan story. It's not a do-over without any consequences. And what we're going to see from God is that God's faithfulness from the beginning to the end is what led Noah to where he was. And he knew from God's actions that he could count on God, despite the circumstances that were around him. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Genesis chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 19 this morning. As I said, this is the tail end of Noah's story. Okay, he's been on the boat for weeks, months, we're going to look at. He's been on the boat for a long time. And this is what happens at the end. God remains faithful. And in doing so, it allowed Noah to be faithful to God. So reading from Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along the screen this morning. If you're reading at home, I encourage you to pull your Bible out and read along as we read this morning. Starting at verse 1. But God remembered Noah. Remember those words. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The water continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground, but the dove could find no place to set its feet, because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they could multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. I think the first reminder in this story of Noah that we need to hold fast to, the first piece of information that reminds us that God is faithful, is the very simple fact that God remembered Noah and his family. Now, when I say that, your mind may immediately race to, well, did God forget? Did God forget Noah? In the midst of this storm, he told them to build an ark. He got them on the boat with all the animals. Did God forget Noah? It said God remembered Noah. But does that indicate that God forgot him during the rest of the time he was on the boat? To understand this a little bit easier, let's think about it this way. This past week, one of my co-workers, the one sitting over here on the first row over here, Gay, celebrated her birthday. You might have seen it in the newsletter that it was her birthday. You may have seen it on the worship slide sometime before. You knew that Gay's birthday was this past week. I knew Gay's birthday was this past week. That's simple remembering that it was her birthday. But doing something about it is another way to remember it. Not just to, as we say, remember it, but to remember it. Now, I know for a fact Gay got lots of presents this past week. She got lots of phone calls. She got flooded with social media messages about her birthday. I'm still seeing some of those today on my feed. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, Gay got many people reached out, and they remembered Gay's birthday. Now, we remember Gay's birthday was on Wednesday. But they remembered that it was Gay's birthday. That's the significance of these words here at the beginning of chapter 8. When God remembered Noah, he didn't forget Noah, kind of like I didn't forget it was Gay's birthday. I remembered it, but then I did something about it. I did something, I acted upon it. And so when God remembered Noah, that's what he's doing. He's acting on it. He is, the better word would maybe be, he considered or he remembered, reflected, and put it into action. So when God said, when this scripture passage says, God remembered Noah, he never forgot Noah. He never forgot Noah was on the boat. He's the one who told him to build it in the first place. He knew that humanity would carry through this boat and his family. But God remembered Noah by acting upon it. So how did he do this? He acted with faithfulness. He acted with faithfulness not just to Noah, not just to his family, not just to all the creatures that were on the boat, but he acted in a way that was faithful to us today. We're all descendants of Noah. Do you know that? That's how he was faithful back then, and that's how he's faithful today. Now, in this passage of scripture, it says that a wind blew across the face of the earth, the waters that were there, that the ark was floating on, that the winds blew it off to dry it on so the ark could land on the mountains of Ararat. Well, some biblical scholars believe that this connotation speaks to the same way that the Spirit was in creation in Genesis 1, that the Spirit was hovering over the waters of the earth when creation took place. And some believe that that's what's happened here, that the Spirit was descending upon that water and blowing, and the wind and the breath of the Spirit was blowing that water away. Well, whether it was just the wind or whether it was the Spirit, what it does remind us is this, is that God was faithful. God was faithful. He didn't forget. He remembered what circumstance Noah and his family were in. He didn't forget. And this is another important statement said over and over again in Scripture. God remembered. This is not the only story where God remembered. God remembers. But God remembered Noah. And God remembers us today. This statement, God remembers, usually signals a significant scripture change, a significant change in the direction of the way the story is going. So if you're doing a devotion sometime, you're reading through the Bible, and you come to a point where it says, God remembered, look at the before and look at the after. Something is about to change. The same could be said last Sunday on Easter Sunday. God remembered, and the world was changed. Let's keep diving into this story a little bit this morning. Our God is always considering the people in which He created and that walks with Him. He never forgets us. He always remembers us, but He remembers us in ways that He speaks to us and gives us direction. God always remembers, and He always uses His divine wisdom and knowledge that is beyond our understanding and conception sometimes, and He constantly determines what is best for us. Sometimes it may feel like God's not hearing me at all, that I feel alone. That when I speak to God or I come to worship, I'm just not feeling in touch with God. But the very fact that God remains faithful reminds us that He does hear our prayer. When He goes into action, when He challenges us to do something, when He challenged Noah to do something, He saw the bigger picture. Noah could begin to see the bigger picture, but He saw the bigger picture, and He was acting intentionally. Oftentimes, as humans, we act impulsively, not intentionally. We act and let our emotions drive us. But God acts intentionally. And when He does, and when He acts, and when He remembers us, our life is about to change. The second reminder that this scripture tells us about God being faithful is this. Is that God provided the opportunity and the patience for Noah to simply wait on the boat. I think this is sometimes forgotten. You know, we got cooped up inside for a couple weeks or months or something during the pandemic, and we wanted to bust the seams out. We wanted to get out. I can't stand to be in my house anymore. Anybody feel that way? I did. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to get out. Can't you imagine that's the same feeling Noah and his family felt on that boat? Now, as a young child, for some reason, and I don't know why, I think it was maybe a song, for some reason I always thought Noah was only on the boat for 40 days. You know, 40 days of rain and all that stuff, and that's a cute little number. We like that number. It's nice to hold a little over a month. We can do 40 days. He was on the boat a lot longer than 40 days. He was on the boat for over a year. 1 year. Can you imagine the impatience that was building up in Noah as he sat on that boat with his family that he loved? That he loved. We all love our family, right? But sometimes we want to go home, right? Amen? Amen. We love our family. But also, you've got to remember, he had animals everywhere. It wasn't like they were staying tied up in a little corner over here. Well, this is where you stay, and don't make any noise, especially from 9 to 6 o'clock in the morning so I can get a good night's sleep. That's not the way the ark worked. That's not the way the boat worked. We know animals and humans don't work that way. Can you imagine the impatience that wanted Noah to bust forth from those doors? It was something only God could provide. And God did, because God was faithful. The ark finally came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, that mountaintop experience. After seeing water for days and weeks and months, all of a sudden they hit dry land. What do you think Noah wanted to do? Let me out! Let me out! I need a breath of fresh air! Please let me out of the boat. But that's not what happened. He landed at Mount Ararat, and he had to stay in the boat. Why? Because God did not speak. Noah knew that God had been faithful to him to bring him to the point that he was at when that ark hit Mount Ararat. He knew that God would continue to be faithful. So he didn't act out of his impulse. Instead, he was patient because God provided. Then he sent out a raven, went around, flew around a little bit. Then he came back. Then he sent a dove, Instead of dove the first time, dove came back and didn't have anything in its beak. Well, that was a sign that there wasn't enough land. He didn't have anywhere to land. They were on the top of a mountain. It said months later, the other mountains started to be able to see in the distance. Then he sent that dove out again a week later. This time, the dove came back with a little bit of olive branch in its beak. Can you imagine when that he saw that, what kind of celebration took place on that boat? I mean, that was a party. They were throwing a party. They were having a boat party. I've never been on a boat party. I've always wanted to be on a boat party. They were having a boat party when the olive branch was in the dove's beak. But they didn't rush the door. They didn't rush the door. They waited another week to send the dove out again. And this time, the dove didn't come back. And that was proof to Noah that the land was there. There was somewhere for the bird to land. Most estimate that the number of days that Noah was on the boat with the animals and his family was 370 days. 370 days. That is one long cruise. That's a long cruise. I've always wanted my wife and I to go on a cruise. She doesn't like boats, so it's never going to happen in my lifetime. But that is a long cruise. 370 days. Can you imagine the impatience that built up as days and days progressed? 370 days. But Noah knew that God was faithful. Noah knew that God was going to remain faithful to him. So he didn't rush. He didn't act on impulse. He knew that God was going to provide the opportunity and God was going to provide the patience. Noah and his family waited. Noah and his family waited and waited. The bird came back. The bird did not come back, the dove, and he didn't immediately leave then either. Scripture actually tells us he waited. And why did he wait? Because God, in his faithfulness, did not speak yet. God did not speak. The same God that had remembered him this entire trip had not spoken yet. And what God was doing is God was not just teaching Noah a lesson, but God was preparing him for what the days and weeks and months to come would be like. Sometimes we want it on our own time. And I can imagine Noah wanted it in his own time at that point. I can imagine that he just wanted to say, you know what? I've been faithful to this point. At this point, I'm ready to leave. At this point, I followed you up to this point. The waters are receding. Thank you, Father, for saving me. But I got to get off this boat. I got to get off this boat. But he didn't. He remained faithful. God was faithful in the opportunity and the patience, and Noah reflected it back to him. We don't often think about the patience that Noah had in the midst of this story his family members had as something that's supernatural, but that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was, because God was providing the patience that he needed. How many times in our life do we feel like our patience has worn thin? I used to hear that from my parents quite often. Most times my mom, man, my patience is wearing thin with you. You know what I knew that meant? Find some place to hide. Get out. Don't know what's about to come. But the patience that God had, the patience that Noah was showing, reflecting back to God, that was supernatural. It wasn't of us. It was of him. And so when we're walking through our life and that our patience is worn thin, when we're at that point, remember Noah. Remember the patience that he provided. And I can trust you that the source of patience that he provides to us is greater than anything we'll ever experience and anything we'll ever need. The last thing from this story, I think, that helps us understand about God's faithfulness and our faithfulness to him is what Noah did after he finally got off the boat. As we honor and remember God's faithfulness to us. Noah did the exact thing that he needed to do to honor this faithfulness, and this was to worship God with joy and excitement. Noah did not disembark from that boat. He didn't get off that boat and say to himself under his breath, "It's about time." Ever said that? I think I said that a couple times this week. It's about time. It's about time. That's not what Noah said. Noah instead got off that boat, and immediately the very first thing he did was to worship the one who was faithful to him and his family. Noah continued to show his patient obedience by building an altar, making a sacrifice as God had commanded Noah to do before he got on the boat. He built an altar to God, lifted up praise and worship to God, honoring God for his faithfulness. And I'm talking about, this is on the top of Mount Ararat. That was a mountaintop experience. That same emotions that we celebrated last week with Easter is the same emotions that Noah was lifting up from Mount Ararat that day. He was lifting up joy and excitement because God is faithful. God is faithful. Do you think if he lifted up an offering with anything else going on inside of him that God would have accepted it? And Scripture tells us from other sacrifices that were made in the right frame of mind that he did not accept them. Think about Cain and Abel, for example. You know, God accepted that offering of sacrifice and worship to him because Noah was faithful. He was honoring God for what he did. He had lost many friends from the flood. He had lost his homeland from the flood. He had lost his home, his literal home from the flood. But what did Noah do? He worshiped God. That's a challenge for us. That's a challenge for us. How many times on a Sunday morning have you ever thought to yourself, "Well, I'm just not in a good mood. I just don't think I'm in the right place to go to worship today." As a pastor, I felt that way before. Have you ever been there? And sometimes our response is not to go worship. But what are we called to do? We're called to worship, especially in those moments, especially in those times when things are tough and when things are down and out. What do? We worship God. And it doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. It could be on Monday afternoon, Wednesday in the middle of the night, Friday when the week of work is done. What can we do? We can worship God because he is faithful. That's what Noah did. We may not even know where our life is heading. And Noah didn't know what was going to happen after their family disembarked from the ark. He didn't know the rest of the story. God did. But he didn't know what the rest of the story was. But when he did, he worshiped God. And then God provided that answer. He went to him with faithfulness. When we don't know where we're supposed to go, we go to God with faithfulness. When we don't know what the next day is going to hold, we worship God. When we have things are down and out and we feel like we've been on a boat for over a year, what do? We worship God because he is faithful. And that seems like a very simple statement, but think about all the ways that God has been faithful to you and brought you to this point. And every time you experience God's faithfulness, every time, that's a mountaintop experience. So when we're walking through a time where we're struggling to remember God's faithfulness, think about the mountaintop. Think about the mountaintops that you have been on and the emotion and the joy and celebration that it comes from. Think about last Sunday in worship. Think about Noah's story right now. Think about how God was faithful no matter what was going on. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that as soon as Noah disembarked from that boat, God did not command Noah to to worship. He didn't say, you need to worship me now. You need to lift up a sacrifice to me now. Scripture doesn't say that. This was something that Noah knew that he needed to do. Maybe what was rattling around in Noah's mind was before they got on the boat, God told Noah, you need to bring both clean and unclean animals, some of which he knew would be for a sacrifice. And so he knew, as soon as he got off the boat, the one thing that I need to do is I need to worship God, and I need to lift the sacrifice up to him. When we're walking around and we don't seem to be able to catch God's attention, that's what we think, or we don't seem to understand where God is leading us, I would challenge you to do the exact same thing that Noah did here. He returned to a point where he knew God was speaking to him, getting on the boat. And he did what he knew, what God wanted him to do, the purpose he had, getting off the boat and worshiping. Return to that moment when you remember God was speaking to you. Return to that point in that where you know that God was speaking, a mountaintop experience. He probably gave you a purpose and a plan, and return to it. It may not be completed yet. That's why you don't feel the next step is because we didn't complete the first step. That's what Noah did. Noah returned to where he remember God speaking to him clearly. And that led him to worship. If God is preparing us for our next step or our next mission in our life, I can guarantee that worship is at the heart of it. Individual worship, corporate worship, worship with our families, worship with our friends, worship in a church community, worship that's between you and God. Worship is at the heart. Our God continues to remain faithful today, just like he was faithful to Noah. He was faithful to Noah and his family by saying to them, build an ark, and then bringing them to a mountaintop, a literal mountaintop, to disembark and experience new life. This is a confirmation of his faithfulness. On a daily basis, God shows us that faithfulness too. He provides for every need that we might have. He is the still, small voice in the midst of the storm. He is our ever-presence when we feel alone. He is our hope in time of trial. He is our patience, just like he was the patience for Noah, when we feel like we're at our wit's end. He is the love that knows no end. This is our God. All he asks is that we remain faithful to him, just like Noah was. This morning, on that mountaintop of emotion that we celebrated last Sunday with Easter Sunday, as we bring forward to this Sunday and this celebration of a mountaintop experience, I want to encourage you to return to those mountaintop experiences with God. It will carry you through. Maybe today's been one of those moments. It will carry you through. And just as God is faithful, just as he is faithful, he was faithful to Noah thousands of years ago, he remains faithful to us this day and every day. To Noah in the past, to us in the present, and to whatever the future might hold. God is faithful. And for that, we worship with joy and celebration. Let's pray. Father, as we think about this story of Noah that is so, it is loaded with so much detail and information about you revealing yourself, that pinnacle thing from the story, that pinnacle characteristic is your faithfulness to him. That same faithfulness carries over to us today. And Father, I don't know where each of us might stand today. We may be still in the realm of that mountaintop experience from last Sunday's Easter celebration. And if we're there, may we continue to bask in your presence and your faithfulness. Maybe we're already on halfway down the mountain, thinking, all right, This week has been tough. After a wonderful Sunday, this week has been tough. They would be reminded that God is faithful and that He's guiding us right back up to the top. Or maybe we feel like we're in the valley. We're in the valley away from any kind of feeling about You at all. Father, may this worship service be the beginning of a reascending up that mountain. Father, may this service be a reminder of Your faithfulness. And for that simple fact, we worship You with celebration and joy this day. Speak to us this day, Father, just as You spoke to Noah. We lift this prayer up to You as Your faithful servants. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, for our closing hymn, maybe today, for the very first time, you realized how faithful God has been to you. And for the very first moment, this is the first time you come to that mountaintop. And you realize that, you know what, my life can be, has been, and will be changed. I'll be down front. You can come and speak with me. If you're turning your life over to the Lord, don't put it off. If you're watching online this morning and you're feeling this, please contact me this week. Let's talk about what it means to be on that mountaintop. Or if you're looking for a community that seeks to minister and worship as we seek to honor God through our faithfulness, maybe this is the home for you. I'll be down front. I'll share with you about our family here at First Baptist Elon and the opportunities that lie ahead for ministering and worshiping as Noah worshiped God. We do the same. Or maybe just today, maybe in wherever you are this morning, you realize that you're already on the way down from that mountain. Or maybe you feel in the valley and that you want to return to that pinnacle moment, those feelings. Give it to God today. Put it in His hands. Come down. The altar's always open. It's not my altar. This is the Lord's altar. Come down to the altar this morning and pray. I'll pray with you if you would like me to. But wherever you are today, whatever decision needs to be made, don't put it off. God is faithful, and let's continue to be faithful to Him this morning.
Let's stand and let's sing together.
Thank you.